It's time for this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM, being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerene Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and today I'm speaking with Holmes County's prosecuting attorney, Matt Music. Good morning, Matt, and thank you for joining in with us today for Focus Fridays.
Good morning, Melissa.
You are the prosecutor here for Holmes County,
yep.
Like we introduced, and a lot of people think they know what you do, but we're going to learn today if they're right or not. It's always fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's start out with, how long have you been the Holmes County prosecutor?
So I took over, I'm actually headed into my second term right now. So my first year as elected prosecutor was in 2021. So I was on the ballot most recently last November, and my second term began in January of this year.
So you're just kicking off round two. And what position did you hold before the elected part?
So I've actually spent my entire legal career in the prosecutor's office in Holmes County. Right out of law school, I was hired by Sean Warner, who was the prosecutor at the time. He hired me to be the assistant prosecutor. In that role, I handled just about everything that the office has to offer. So I was in the municipal court, meaning I handled misdemeanor cases. That was my primary assignment. That's everything from traffic tickets all the way up to OVIs and domestic violence. But I also had a third of the felony docket at the time. I kind of focused on domestic violence cases in the felony court. And I did some juvenile cases. I did about half of the juvenile cases while I was assistant prosecutor. Then I also did about half of the civil work for the office. So I handled half of the inquiries that came in from the townships. I had certain offices in the county assigned to me where we give legal advice to them. We're basically like in-house counsel for all of the public entities within the county as well as the township. So that was sort of the division of labor as I was the assistant prosecutor. Then Sean ran for judge and he became Judge Warner, who's now the sitting judge of the Common Pleas Court. So I still get to see him a lot.
And so how long were you in as the assistant then?
I was in for 4 years prior to becoming the elected prosecutor.
I wasn't sure when you graduated law school, so.
Yep. So I graduated law school in 2016. Took the bar exam that July, and then it takes them 3 months to grade the bar exam because it's a 2.5-day exam with lots of essays, and it's a bit of a limbo period between taking the bar and figuring out if you passed it. So I was fortunate enough to pass it the first time and found out that I was going to be, you know, sworn in as an attorney around the first week of November of 2016. And around that time, I had done some shadowing in the county. I became connected with Sean, and he wound up offering me a position in the prosecutor's office, and I've been there ever since.
Is that something that you thought, you know, when you were in law school, oh, hey, I want to work like this, or were you like, I want to be one of the people who defends the small guy? What was the goal there?
It was a little bit of a, when I first got to law school, I thought I wanted to be an agricultural lawyer. So my background is in agricultural business. That's what I studied at Ohio State. So I got to law school and became involved in like the environmental club that the law students are in. And oh, about halfway through law school, I realized that that wasn't my cup of tea. So I had a I had a trial advocacy class, and then I worked actually for the public defender in Franklin County for a while just to get my feet wet in criminal law. I realized that I liked to be in a courtroom and I was good at advocating and good at putting together arguments and things like that. So I that was sort of the shift in what I wanted to do, and I think it's been a good fit.
For sure, and it helps that you have been here your whole career. You're familiar with everybody in the county and what's going on in it, so it gives you that nice base.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've absolutely fallen in love with this county. You know, even though I'm not from here, born and raised, but this is where my wife and I chose to plant our roots and raise our family. We have two little boys that they'll say, you know, they're going to be first generation is what is what all these people here say when their parents moved here and they were born here. But yeah, they were looking forward to raising a family, and probably the best place in the country to raise a family. It's just such a great community.
For sure. And we'll talk more about what you do at the office here in the next segment. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays for WKLM. That's our prosecuting attorney, Matt Music, for Holmes County on WKLM. This is Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm speaking with the Holmes County prosecuting attorney, Matt Music, and we're learning about the position of the prosecuting attorney. And we learned a little about Matt's background here in the first segment, and let's kind of step into the role. You mentioned a little bit about being the assistant prosecuting attorney and what you do. So what are some of the things that a prosecuting attorney does here in the county?
So it is more, definitely more involved than just being an assistant prosecutor. So just to give a general overview of our office. So I'm the elected prosecutor. I have to run every 4 years and I'm reelected to that position. I have staff that works for me. So I have three lawyers that work for me. I have three legal secretaries, and there's also a victim advocate that I oversee as well. So our office as a whole handles all of the prosecution for the entire county. That means any crime or traffic offense that is committed within the county is handled by our office. Other places actually have law directors that handle all the misdemeanors, especially for like municipalities. That's just not how we're set up. We handle all misdemeanors as well as felonies. Also, our office handles child abuse, neglect, and dependency cases, as well as juvenile prosecution. So in other jurisdictions, that can just be an entirely different offices. I have seen where other, like JFS, for example, will have a lawyer on staff that handles all their abuse, neglect, dependency cases. That's anytime Children's Services has to step in for the benefit of a child. So our office handles quite a bit of breadth when it comes to actual court representation. We also are the civil, I mentioned this in the last segment too, but we are the civil representative for the entire county as well as all the townships. So that it's like being in-house counsel. So basically any legal issue that comes across their desk, whether it's litigation or employment issues, or they're entering into a contract, or we're talking about ballot language and the proper resolutions to get something on the ballot with the engineer's office, we're handling transfers of property, we're handling acquiring a right-of-way and properly rerouting a road so it makes a safer site distance for an intersection. So that is primarily what I am devoted to at this point. So all of the civil issues that come through our doors, I'm the point of contact. I'm the one who, you know, whether it's drafting the proper deeds or drafting a liability waiver or a contract or reviewing contracts or, you know, anything along those lines, anything coming from the county, including all the county offices. So the Board of County Commissioners, the engineer's office, the county recorder, the auditor, the treasurer, the sheriff's office, all of these different offices, I am their counsel. I also handle all of that sort of stuff for all of the townships throughout the county. So that's primarily what I'm focused on. I also do have a share of the felony docket. So I take everything that's a probation violation, where somebody's already sentenced on probation and they violated their probation somehow. I handle all of those cases. I also take the drug cases. So when there's a felony prosecution for drugs, that's when I get involved and I personally handle those cases. But the other attorneys I have are assigned to the different courts that we have. So we have an assistant prosecutor that handles misdemeanors. We have an assistant prosecutor that handles juvenile court and the abuse, neglect, dependency. And then we have an assistant prosecutor that handles the remainder of the share of the felony prosecution. And then our legal staff, our legal secretaries, are all assigned to different subject matter. Like, there's a secretary we have that handles felony theft-related offenses, as well as all of the civil things that need to be filed and dealt with. We have another legal secretary that handles the rest of the felony docket, and then we have a legal assistant that handles misdemeanor court as well as the juvenile prosecution. So that's a little bit of the overview of what we do and how the division of labor really works out in our office.
So it sounds like there's a lot of working cogs that all fit very minutely together.
Yes. And something we enjoy is we have a very collaborative atmosphere in our office. We have a very team-oriented group of people. You know, when something big happens, everybody jumps on board and, you know, we band together and we get through it, basically. But there's also a great collaboration, you know, where everybody has a open door. You can, you know, we frequently collaborate and help each other in assessing cases and making decisions and things like that.
Which tends to be a common theme in Holmes County.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yep. And I'll say that as far as our elected officials as well. It's a very collaborative, you know, their first response is never, oh, that's not my job. It's not my job to help you with that. It's what can we do as different, you know, offices that have different responsibilities? What can we do to help everybody succeed? And I'm very pleased. I think I'm in a unique position to say that about our elected officials as a whole, because I represent all of them and I know them all pretty well. And they're fantastic people. They truly do everything they can in their positions to continue to keep this county a great place to live. I've seen that from the commissioners, the treasurer, the auditor, the recorder, you know, all of these different offices. It's Holmes County first, you know. They're not in it for their own egos. They're not in it for their own salaries. I mean, many, many of them could make a lot more money going into the private sector. It's a selfless position.
Well, that's quite a bit that all comes together. And so we'll talk more about what it is you guys do in our next segment. That is Holmes County Prosecuting Attorney Matt Music for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and I'm speaking with Holmes County Prosecuting Attorney Matt Music. And we were kind of touching base on what it is your office does in that last segment on a basic port. And there's also things that is your office does versus your office doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important to understand the balance of powers in the legal system generally. So speaking about criminal law and how things work, our office, essentially, we review investigations that are submitted by law enforcement, and we decide on either which municipal charges get charged, or we decide on which charges are presented to the grand jury in order to proceed with a felony prosecution. So there's a couple of things in there that we are not, we don't do, we are not responsible for. So the investigation itself, everything that happens leading up to when we receive a completed report and review it for charges, we're not the ones that do the investigation. Now, sometimes when we receive a submission, we request follow-up from law enforcement. We say, we would like more information regarding this potential element of this potential crime. Could you please go, you know, talk to people, collect information, get records, essentially, that sort of thing. So we also are not the ones who sentence the individual. That is the responsibility of the court. So we, you know, advocate for a jury or a judge, depending upon the trial, we advocate for why that individual violated that section of law. We are not the ones who actually punish the individual. That is the court that decides on what the punishment is for that individual based on what they did. And that's an important point as well that I am always trying to keep in mind, and I know our assistant prosecutors as well keep this in mind, that we are not going after anybody as a person. It doesn't matter who you are, or a lot of the time, depending upon what the elements of the offense are, we don't look at somebody's criminal record while we're deciding on what kind of charges. Now, unless there are aggravating charges. So sometimes, like if you commit a domestic violence and you have a prior domestic violence on your record, that aggravates that subsequent offense to a felony level. So in that situation, we do have to look back and see, but just from a standpoint of how many times that person has been convicted of something. What we are doing is we are proscribing their conduct. It is, what did they do on this particular day or this set of time, and does that violate any of the criminal sections in the revised code? So those are the decisions that we make, but I touched on this a second ago. Our office decides what charges to present to the grand jury, but the grand jury is the one who gives us, you know, a yes or no on whether we can proceed with the charges against somebody. That's a protection in the Ohio Constitution as well as the federal Constitution, that you can't just be charged with a federal or with a felony because some prosecutor's office just, you know, decided this and here we go. It has to be reviewed by a grand jury and they have to give the green light for it to proceed. So those are, you know, some of the things we do, some of the things we don't do. And then when it comes to the civil representation, what I am primarily assigned to, you know, we act as legal counsel. We provide legal advice to those different offices, helping them navigate the issues that face them. Something that I encounter a lot is, because of my ethical duty to the public offices, I cannot give legal advice to people that are basically outside of those offices. So if a member of the public were to ask me a question, whether I know the answer or not, I am not permitted to assist that person and give them legal advice. So that's just another thing that we have to keep in mind about our limitations on what we do. You know, we don't want to be a prosecutor's office that's overreaching, that is abusing our power. We keep that very much in mind when we do everything that we do.
And you mentioned that the charges are made by the grand jury. For anybody who doesn't know who makes up the grand jury, Do we want to touch on that just a hair so they know It's not you guys?
No. So a grand jury is similar to a jury for a trial, but they serve for 3 months in a row once a month. The pool that we get, you know, on the first day of grand jury for the first term of 3 months, we have a, you know, 20, 25 people that are sitting there that all could be chosen to be grand jurors. Actually, the court just started doing it based upon driver's licenses and state IDs that are issued within the county. So we have a big group of people, very diverse, you know, from all different parts of the county, and they get chosen based on a set of questions, whether they qualify, whether they actually live in Holmes County, whether they speak English or not, you know, that sort of the basic requirements, whether they can sit there through grand jury, pay attention, hear everything from the witnesses, then that group of individuals will sit for 3 months, once a month. So they're the ones that, in their closed proceedings, that's one of the rules as it pertains to grand jury. And there's reasons for that. You know, you don't want an individual to have undue public scrutiny just because there were charges, you know, presented to the grand jury against them that ultimately the grand jury decided not to charge. So that's a big reason why. Also, you know, folks act in a certain way when they find out that there has been a indictment against them. So that's another reason why those proceedings are closed, so that there's no retaliation against victims. There's no fleeing the jurisdiction, running from a arrest warrant or anything like that. So that's really the function of the grand jury.
So for anybody who didn't know, it's people from the county choosing, not you, like you said. So it kind of clears that up, where that pool is coming from.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we will have more with prosecuting attorney Matt Music on Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM. We're back here on Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and we are talking with Holmes County prosecuting attorney Matt Music, and we've been learning all about the prosecutor's office and really what goes into what they do. And in the last segment, we learned about grand jury and how charges get presented on somebody. And the next logical step is, how do you guys prepare for trial and for going to court after those charges have been set by the grand jury?
Yep. So a trial is when either the judge or a jury has to decide whether or not somebody's conduct violated the law. Again, like I said a couple segments ago, it is not the person that is being condemned. It is their conduct, whether what they did violates a criminal code section. So when we get to trial, it is the defendants, it's the person who we're alleging has violated the law. They get to choose whether or not it's a bench trial, which means that it's tried to the judge, and the judge is the one who makes a decision on the facts of the case and how the facts apply to the law. The other option is, if the defendant chooses, they can have a jury of their peers come in and decide whether their conduct violated the applicable code section. So once we get to trial, the weeks leading up to it are very intensive. You know, we are meeting with witnesses, we are meeting with officers, we are continuing to review the information of the case. You know, we have, because those cases are submitted at the very outset of the case, we all have a very good idea of the facts and information of the case. So you have to prepare, you have to know the facts of the case, what's in the police reports, what's in the witness statements, what's on the officer's body camera. You have to know it very, very, very well. And then talking to the witnesses and putting together your arguments and preparing what you're going to ask the pool of jurors when you select the jurors. So it's similar to grand jury, where they have a series of questions. The lawyers get an opportunity to ask questions of the jury, primarily to see whether they can be fair and impartial in deciding the case. Now, obviously, if it's, you know, somebody's sworn enemy or something like that, they're not going to be very fair as a juror. On the other side of the coin, if it's, you know, their neighbor's son that they've seen grow up since he was a baby, you know, maybe that individual wouldn't be able to set aside their potential biases in order to fairly decide the case. So that's what those questions are designed to do. Then both of the sides get a chance to challenge different jurors based upon their responses to some of the questions. Then once those challenges are through, certain people are excluded from the jury pool, and then 12 of those individuals are selected to sit in the jury. There's also a couple alternates that they usually pull in just in case something happens to one of the jurors, an emergency, something like that, that they have to leave and they can't fulfill the rest of their duties. That's why we have alternates. But so the trial itself, after the jury selection, there is an opening statement that is delivered by each side. The opening statement is an introduction to the jury about in the attorney's opinion, what the facts and information will show. It's not an argument. So it's not, here's why he violated the law. That would be an argument. After the opening statement, so it goes, you know, the prosecution gets to go first, they give their opening. The defense then gets to go and gives their opening statement. Then the portion of the trial where witnesses are called and evidence is presented begins. So at that point, it's the state's burden to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the violation of law occurred. Beyond a reasonable doubt is a very high standard of proof. It's not an unattainable standard. And a way that it's often described is with how much certainty you have in making important decisions in your own life, right? You don't have a crystal ball in life. You don't know every potential thing. You don't know buying a house, whether, you know, 5 years from now, it's going to have some unforeseen issue, some pipe burst that ruins things. You don't know that when you're making an important decision. So it's not that you need to know everything and you need to be able to forecast into the future all this potential stuff. It is just, how sure are you usually when making important decisions in your own life? That's the standard that we have to prove at the trial. So the state, which the prosecution is referred to as the state of Ohio a lot because we represent the state of Ohio. Once the state puts on their evidence, which comes through their witnesses, so we put witnesses on the stand and it's the attorney's job to ask them questions to have them explain the evidence of the case. It could be eyewitness testimony that somebody saw the other person do this. It could be in the form of a record. You know, for example, it could be bank records or something like that. It could be there's security camera footage at a gas station that captured XYZ happen. We have to put the manager on stand to ask them to basically lay the foundation for that video evidence to come in. There could be expert testimony. There could be a lab report that's put on that is some expertise from that witness. So after the prosecution puts on their witnesses, all the information that they have for the jury to consider, then the defense has a turn if they wish. They don't have to. The defense can sit there silently and say nothing because it's our burden to prove somebody is guilty. It's not their burden to prove that they're not guilty. So they can put on information if they want to. After the information comes in, after the evidence is heard by the jury then gets instructions from the court about what their job is and what are the crimes that they're going to be evaluating based upon the information. After that happens, the attorneys get a chance to do a closing argument. That is why, in the attorney's professional opinion, why the information either does or does not line up with what the law says that we're not allowed to do. So after each attorney has that opportunity to argue, then the jury goes back and deliberates. That can take 45 minutes. That can take a few days. You know, depends upon your jury. It depends upon that particular group of people. But those deliberations are shut off to the public as well, because, you know, that's a very important function that they serve, you know, that they
come. No swaying.
Right. No, nobody is swayed. Nobody is worried about what is, you know, what's the, you know, media going to say about my opinion about this. It's so they get together and they decide, and then a verdict is announced. It's either guilty or not guilty.
And if it's not unanimous, it's not guilty.
Right. They have to be unanimous in their decision to find guilt. If they are found guilty, then it proceeds to a sentencing where it is the judge who decides what the proper sentence is for somebody. So it's important to point out the jury is not the one judging the person. The jury is not saying how bad or how, you know, light it was that the person did this thing. Their job is just to say whether or not that person violated the law. That's what their job is. You know, whether the information lines up with what the law says. The judge in a separate hearing is the one who judges the person and says, based upon their background, based upon certain
things,
all the things in their life, the judge is the one who sets the sentence. So that's how that works.
And that, folks, is how a trial works. We'll have more with prosecuting attorney Matt Music. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. Welcome back to Focus Fridays. We are speaking with Holmes County Prosecuting Attorney Matt Music. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM. And we learned all about a trial in the last segment. There are other processes that happen when it comes to cases in court and other ways of whether it's proving burden of proof, plea deals, and all of that you guys have to take into consideration as well.
Absolutely. So leading up to a trial, there is a period of time, usually several months, between when they were first arraigned, meaning when they decided to plead guilty or not guilty to the charges, and when they were assigned a lawyer or when they hired a lawyer. So there's a period of time that is set between the original hearing of the case and the trial that could potentially happen. In the meantime, there are pretrials. Those are conferences between the judge and counsel for the defendant and also the prosecutor. We discuss the case. We figure out, you know, any issues that may come up. That's an opportunity that the defense can file any motions to suppress evidence that they see due to something that they're saying would be a violation of somebody's, you know, could be their Fourth Amendment right, could be their Fifth Amendment right. The rights that protect all citizens, defense attorneys can raise those issues. If they're successful, certain pieces of information are taken away from what the state can talk about. We are not allowed to talk about information that has been suppressed due to a constitutional violation.
And while it is protecting rights, it may make your case a lot harder.
It could, yeah. So in some circumstances, there could be a motion that is filed that takes away a significant portion of what we would present at trial. So without that piece of information, it could be very crucial to us succeeding at trial. So every crime is broken down into what we call elements of the offense. Those are like, picture little building blocks, you know. So a good example of one would be the elements for assault. It requires no person shall knowingly cause or attempt to cause physical harm to another individual. So if you read it like that, it sounds like a big long sentence. But if you break it up into the different pieces parts, that each one of those elements is what we have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So it is, you know, no person shall, one, knowingly, two, cause, three, physical harm, four, to another person. So in a case, for example, where there's a motion to suppress, we could be precluded from putting on evidence that substantiates any one of those elements. So when things like that come up, again, like I said, when we're deciding things based upon a decision we're making, an important decision in our life, we don't have a crystal ball. we can't anticipate everything that happens. You know, other ways that that potentially happens is if, you know, a witness is unavailable. You know, they're the only one, based upon the rules of evidence, that can come in and provide testimony on a certain point. If they're unavailable, you know, that is another thing we have to consider in our strength of taking the case or not. So these are the reasons why there's pretrial conferences. Another kind of important point is each one of the crimes that are on the books for the Ohio Revised Code, they are assigned a level of offense. That dictates what the potential maximum charges are for each one of those crimes. So we don't like get to decide, okay, it's an assault and we're going to treat it like it's a felony of the fourth degree because we feel like it should be a felony of the fourth degree. You know, your assault, as I just described it, it's a misdemeanor of the first degree. So it allows for up to 180 days in county jail rather than going to prison. You know, once you get into the felony realm, that's when prison can potentially become a consequence of committing the crime. So when we're discussing cases and we're having pretrial conferences, we're always assessing cases based upon our ability to prove whatever the offense is at trial, and then looking at, you know, the information available to us at trial based upon the rules of evidence. Those are the decisions that are factored into, you know, if somebody is going to take responsibility and enter a guilty plea to any one of the charges that are alleged against them. So that's the consideration.
And sometimes you guys kind of work together with the defense because it could go either way. And sometimes it's the best route to just have that guilty plea versus taking it to trial and having a worse consequence.
Yes, and we do collaborate a lot with defense counsel. It's often important to sort of hear their perspective on things. They could very well bring up a point that, you know, the judge or myself or the assistant prosecutor handling the case, we weren't thinking about or weren't anticipating. We're not, you know, perfect individuals, you know, but it is important to have that collaboration. We're also looking at if we know a certain, you know, offense, you know, sort of deserves a certain amount of time on probation or time in prison or whatever it may be. But we know that that, you know, as, you know, the higher level of offense has certain elements that are going to be difficult if we get to the trial because of, you know, situations that occur in the facts and whatever. We look at what, you know, what is the potential maximum of charges for that versus what is the potential maximum of charges for a different charge. And it could be that charges are amended by the court's permission to allow somebody to plead to an amended charge. And then it's, you know, it's still considering what they were likely to do as far as, you know, their punishment on the original charge. We compare that to what the amended charge would allow for. So that's a consideration as well.
So if anybody just thinks that, oh, when it goes to you guys, you put all this stuff together and just take it to trial, there's a lot of work that goes on in your office getting things ready along with all the other stuff that your office does.
That's correct. Yep. It's a, it keeps us busy for sure. And there's a reason there's four lawyers that are, you know, handling all the prosecution for the county. Other jurisdictions have a lot more than four lawyers. I mean, there's hundreds of assistant prosecutors in places like Franklin County and, you know, Hamilton County, and even, you know, Stark and Summit counties, they have dozens of lawyers that handle all this stuff. So we're busy.
All right. Well, we will wrap up with what the prosecuting attorney's office does here in our last segment. We are speaking with the prosecuting attorney, Matt Music, for Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick. Returning here on WKLM for one last time on our Focus Friday for this week, I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And I've been speaking with the prosecuting attorney for the county, Matt Music, and we've learned a lot of things here in the first segments, and we're kind of wrapping things up. And through all the stuff that you do through the prosecuting attorney's office, you're also involved in some things outside of the office directly, but that affect the office and the state and things like that?
Yes. So my focus primarily is on Holmes County, but through the Prosecuting Attorneys Association for the state and also through some other organizations, I am involved in matters that do relate to Holmes County, but they sort of originate on a grander scale. So an example of that, I am on the Ohio Prosecuting Attorney Association's legislative committee, as well as I'm an alternate on the executive committee. So that is a statewide organization comprised of elected prosecuting attorneys throughout the state of Ohio. So each county has a me as a prosecutor. So in every of the 88 counties, there is one guy or woman who is elected to be the prosecuting attorney. So the way the legislative committee works is we meet roughly on a monthly basis, and our job is to evaluate potential changes in the law that are coming down the pike. So we evaluate how these new changes to the law will affect the state of Ohio, the citizens in the state of Ohio, how they will play out based upon things we know are likely to happen based upon our experience and things like that. So when we're looking at it, it's a very wide breadth of potential laws that will affect people in the state of Ohio. Could be issues relating to taxes. It could be issues relating to just, you know, county engineers' offices and what you can use different funds for and how appropriations work. A lot of it has to do with criminal code sections when, you know, they want to increase or decrease the level of charge, the level of offense for different charges, or they change what the elements require for certain offenses. So it's an important job. You know, it's important for legislators to hear what our input is on things that are coming down.
Because you're the ones using it.
Because we're going to be the ones using it, you know. And so when we are evaluating new potential pieces of legislation, which is, you know, changes to the law, we either endorse the changes or we choose not to support the potential changes, or we will suggest changes that will make things a little bit better just based on our experience, but based on what we've been through, what we've seen, how we practice, things like that. So, you know, they take our suggestions or they don't take our suggestions. You know, it's ultimately up to the legislator what laws get changed. But yeah, so it's been a very rewarding thing to be a part of, you know, to have a good grasp on potential changes that are coming and feeling like you have some input into all of, you know, the citizens throughout the state of Ohio.
And then you had mentioned another element you're a part of outside of just your duties of the prosecuting attorneys.
Yes. So I am a part of a regional task force for drug interdiction. So we are teamed up with other, you know, municipalities and other counties, and we come together and, you know, we fund different projects relating to drug enforcement. The funding comes from grants that organization applies for. The grant money is then devoted to getting new equipment or getting different pieces of things that law enforcement could be useful to them in enforcing laws. So, you know, we do it with neighboring jurisdictions so that, you know, so a lot of the, you know, drugs that come in, obviously they originate in a different place.
They
come from somewhere else and they're moved in here. So it helps us have a better idea of the things that are facing us, and we can sort of collaborate with other jurisdictions and pool resources. And, you know, it's been also a very rewarding thing to be a part of.
Because while your main job centers around what happens in Holmes County, ultimately there is life outside of Holmes County.
Right. Yeah. And Holmes County doesn't exist in a vacuum. You know, we are, you know, the things that happen elsewhere affect us.
could happen here.
And could happen here. And, you know, if I'm, you know, at the state level advocating for changes in the law, that's going to affect people in Holmes County. If we are, you know, part of a task force that's apprehending, you know, certain shipments of drugs coming in to our county, that affects Holmes County as well. So, you know, my job and my focus is primarily on Holmes County, and I'm trying to do that from different angles too. So.
And as we wrap up here, is there anything else about your job and your position that folks should know?
It's, you know, it's a pleasure of my life to serve in this role. You know, I'm motivated every day by my love for this county and my love for the community and the people that surround us. You know, from the beginning of when I took over as the elected prosecuting attorney, what motivates me is preserving the good things of this county, making it a place that I want to raise my family, that the people that I live around want to raise their family, where we feel safe at night. We feel our properties are going to be okay. You know, some of the things that other larger jurisdictions deal with, you know, bigger cities, it's a good thing that where we are, we got a good thing going here, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That
so
we do.
It's a pleasure to be a part of this community and to serve this community. And I greatly appreciate this opportunity to just talk about what we do and talk about the role that we fill here. So I appreciate very much, Melissa, the opportunity to come on air and, you know, explain this stuff.
And if anybody has any questions, can they reach out to your office?
Absolutely. We are on the Google. or you could, you know, stop in sometime or just catty corner to the courthouse right on East Jackson Street, Millersburg. So.
Well, thank you so much for sharing and helping us learn a lot of information today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
That was Holmes County's prosecuting attorney, Matt Music. And for WKLM's Focus Friday, I'm Melissa Patrick. Don't forget to check out Focus Fridays, where we dig deep on the elected, appointed, and volunteer positions that are functioning right here in Holmes County. It's being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Make sure to check in each and every Friday in the 9 a.m. hour after Hometown News and the Ion Weather Forecast for Focus Fridays right here on WKLM. In our next edition, we focus in on Holmes County Clerk of Courts, Rhonda Steimel, here on Focus Fridays on WKLM.